堂听 class.com。
Now we will begin part A with the first conversation. Number one.
I can't seem to find my calculator. Did I lend it to you by any chance?
No, but you're welcome to mine if you need it. As long as I get it back by Thursday.
What does the woman mean? Number two.
Wow, I've already taken one of those pills for my headache, but it's still bothering me.
Well, why not take another? The recommended dose.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number three.
You want to go running down by the lake after psychology class?I'd really like to take advantage of the beautiful weather this afternoon.
Well, normally I'd be getting together with my study group then, but I guess I could skip that just this once.
What does the man imply? Number four.
Great haircut, James. You go to a new barber shop or something?
Oh, thanks. No, it was the same place, just another guy.
What does the man mean? Number five.
I can't believe it. At the bookstore today, I had to unload 2 dozen boxes of textbooks.And there's more to do tomorrow.
But it's always busy at the start of a new year, isn't it?
What does the woman imply? Number six.
Oh, man, I feel awful. I think I'm coming down with that flu everybody's been laid up with. Do you have it, too?
No. I mean, I probably look terrible because I stayed up all last night studying, but I should be fine after some sleep.
What does the man mean? Number seven.
Excuse me, can you tell me which bus to take to get to the art museum?
Well...That'd be the number 42, but I wouldn't think you'd want to go there today. They're closed on Mondays.
What does the woman mean?
Number 8. I really like this green jacket. The fit is perfect, but I'm not sure about the color. What do you think?
Try this other one. It's the same style, but blue suits you better.
What does the woman mean? Number 9.
Hey, Dan, do you think you might hurry up just a bit? You've been standing in front of that sandwich counter forever, and, you know, I've got a class in 10 minutes. And so do you, by the way.
Sorry. Oh, I just wish they didn't give you so many choices.
What does the man imply? Number 10.
Hey, did your sister get here yet?
No, and I can hardly wait. I haven't seen her in 3 months.
What does the woman mean?Number 11.
This looks like the way to Susan's house, but I don't know. I wish I'd written down the directions.
At this rate, we'll be lucky to get there in time for dessert.
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
So, did you pick up that orange juice for me like you said you would?
I meant to, but I was short on cash. I'll be going back later, though, after I stop by the bank, if you can wait that long.
What does the man imply he will do? Number 13.
That's a great dress, Cindy. I don't think I've ever seen you wear it before.
Oh, I have. It's just that it's been in the back of my closet. My sister gave it to me, like, ages ago, and I'd totally forgotten about it.
What does the woman imply? Number 14.
Just look at this apartment, Karen. What a mess. Your stuff is all over. How does your roommate put up with it?
I know. I haven't been doing my share this week, but I have 3 reports due on Friday, and I haven't even started one of them.
What can be inferred about Karen? Number 15.
I wish we had better stuff to read for our literature class. That novel she assigned us is so boring.
Really? I started it yesterday afternoon, and I couldn't put it down until I'd finished it.
What does the man mean? Number 16.
Wow, you seem to be in a really good mood today. What's the secret?
Dunno. I guess some mornings you wake up feeling great, and some mornings you don't.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
If you're planning to take the train when you leave next Friday, remember that I drive right past the station on my way home from campus.
Say, I think I'll take you up on that.
What will the man probably do next Friday? Number 18.
I need to ask John about the chemistry assignment for tomorrow, but his phone's been busy for the last hour and a half. Who could he be talking to for so long?
It may not be him, you know. It could be one of his housemates. Why don't you just head on over there if it's that important?
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 19.
Jim, I don't know if you know this, but I've decided to run for class president, and I was wondering if I could count on your vote.
Oh, maybe if you'd asked me sooner, but my roommate's running too, and I already promised him he'd have my support.
What does the man mean? Number 20.
I might argue with some of the details, but I basically agree with it's about managing the economy.
Sure, it sounds great in theory. My concern is in practice.
What does the woman mean? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
You know that summer internship I'm applying for? They want an official copy of all my grades, but the records office charges $20 for an official grade report. That's a lot, don't you think?
It really is. I only had to pay $6 for mine last year.
What does the woman mean? Number 22.
Hey, the weather report says it's going to pour today. You should probably put your bike in the garage before it really starts coming down.
Why bother? It's been through a lot worse, and it still works just fine.
What will the woman probably do? Number 23.
Let me tell you, I'm really happy I got that athletic scholarship, but I wish my parents would stop bragging to everybody.
Well, that is quite an accomplishment. If you ask me, I think you deserve a little recognition.
What does the woman mean? Number 24.
Can you believe it? A 20-page term paper and a final exam. What does Professor Johnson think? That we don't have any classes but his?
Wait a second. I'm sure he said it was either one or the other.
What does the man imply? Number 25.
Your coffee in this restaurant has really improved. They must have changed suppliers.
Really? You can taste the difference?
What does the man mean? Number 26.
And I rushed to get here before 1 so I could swim my laps before the pool got too crowded. Why are they still closed?
They're just having a brief staff meeting. Stick around.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 27.
I know that you don't really like live theater, but I have an extra ticket for the play at the community theater on Friday night. You wouldn't be interested, would you?
Well, you know, I could use a change. I mean, I can't go to the movies every weekend.
What does the man imply? Number 28.
I'd think twice about taking a history class next year. There's not a single good professor in the whole history department.
Look, that's what you said last semester about the sociology department, and I'm very glad I didn't pay any attention to what you said.
What does the woman mean? Number 29.
My boss says the company will pay for any college courses I take toward an advanced degree.
That's a fringe benefit you wouldn't have had if you'd taken that other job offer.
What does the man imply? Number 30.
Gee, it sure is hard to wake up in time for that 8 o'clock chemistry class. I never should have signed up for something so early in the morning.
Well, maybe next time you'll listen to me.
What does the woman imply? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. The test continues on Side 2. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. Each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 35. Listen to a conversation between a student and a library assistant.
I'm sorry, but I can't let you check out these books.
What do you mean?
Well, the computer shows that you've got an overdue book, How to Sell Your Own Artwork, out since last June, and your circulation privileges are revoked until you return it.
But that's impossible. I only started going to this school last month, and I'm a business major, not an artist.
This is pretty strange. Let me look up the records. Okay, you're Robert Smith?
Yeah.
You live at 1423 West Canal Street?
Huh? No, I'm living on campus in the new quadrangle.
You did say you were Robert Smith, right?
Yeah, well, my full name is Robert James Smith, but I usually go by Bob.
Let me check one more thing on the computer. Aha, I see now. There's another Robert Smith in the class ahead of yours, a Robert L. Smith. And it looks like he's the one who got that overdue book checked out.
Another Bob Smith. No kidding.
So I guess you two've never met.
No, but I think I should probably try. I could at least warn him about what just happened.
Good idea. Now, I'll let you check out these books today, but I suggest you start using your middle name or middle initial to avoid any problems like this in the future.
Number 31. Why is the man talking to the woman? Number 33. Why does the man mention that he is a new student at the school? Number 34. What does the woman discover when she looks at the records on her computer? Number 35. What does the woman suggest the man do in the future? Questions 36 through 39. Listen to part of a discussion between two students who are in the same History of Architecture class.
So what did you think about that ancient Egyptian temple the professor talked about in class today?
The temple at Karnak?
Uh-huh.
Oh, pretty amazing. So grand and magnificent with all those cleverly thought-out features.
Well, sure. After all, the temple was built to honor the ruler, and those ancient Egyptian rulers were viewed as gods after their deaths.
Oh, I know. But like that whole avenue of rams leading up to the temple, I mean, that roadway with all of those statues of sacrificial animals along both sides, all that seems perfectly designed for the grand religious processions they often had there. And that huge stone over the entrance to the temple, the way it was cut away.
Yeah, that was clever. How they just cut away part of that stone so the priests in those big processions could pass through the entrance underneath, even with all the tall banners they'd be carrying in and out of the temple?
Right. And how about the inside of the temple, in that great hall?
You mean the columns?
Yeah.
Those columns really were amazing. I mean, like, how many were there? Over 100? And each one with images of gods and kings cut into its surface to tell stories of their great deeds.
Well, they were all pretty awesome. but I particularly meant the columns down the center aisle of the hall, the ones that were so much taller than all the others, so that they raised the center roof a lot higher than the roofs on either side.
Oh, yeah, those. What a brilliant solution for letting natural light down into the middle of the great hall. Man, some of those architects back then must have been really creative.
Number 36. What aspect of the temple at Karnak do the speakers mainly discuss? Number 37. According to the discussion, what was the Avenue of Rams often used for? Number 38. Why is part of the stone over the entrance to the temple missing? Number 39. According to the conversation, what aspect of the Great Hall was improved by raising part of its roof? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear, "Listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program."
"I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful."
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, "What is the main purpose of the program?" is C. To explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read, A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 40 through 43. Listen to part of a talk in a physics class.
Okay, since we've been talking about mechanics, and we still have a few minutes, let me tell you a little about the ancient Greeks and what they thought about mechanics. They came up with a system that, for them, seemed to describe and explain the different motions of different materials. More than 2,000 years ago, Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, assumed that all the matter on Earth was made up of four prime substances: earth, water, air, and fire. Under this system, earth is the densest, water is next, air is less dense than water, and fire is the least dense of all. The heaviest objects were made of earth and water, and lighter objects contained significant amounts of fire or air. So when Aristotle observed that different types of matter had different characteristics, he assumed that this was because the different types of matter were composed of different amounts of the four primary substances. And Aristotle believed that the motions of objects could also be explained by the basic natures of the four prime substances. For example, there was the basic motion of up or down. Aristotle noticed that when he released most objects, they would drop downward. But he also knew that some things would rise upward, like smoke. Aristotle considered an object's downward or upward motion to be a result of the dominant nature of the object. So, according to Aristotle, matter, like rocks, were primarily composed of earth. Therefore, they naturally wanted to move toward the center of earth because this was where all things earthly rested. But fire had a different resting place, the sky. So smoke would naturally rise when it was released because it was striving toward its natural resting place.
Number 40. What is the main topic of the talk? Number 41. Using Aristotle's system of classification, which prime substance is the densest? Number 42. According to the speaker, what types of motion does Aristotle's theory try to explain? Number 43. According to Aristotle's theory, why does smoke rise? Questions 44 through 46. Listen to an announcement given in a university biology class.
Hi, I'm Jim Black. Before you get started with class today, Dr. Webster has given me a few minutes to talk to you about the biology department's ongoing Turtle Watch project down at South Beach. As many of you probably know, South Beach is an important nesting site for the green turtle, a type of endangered sea turtle. In the next few days, turtles from several nesting sites we've identified along the beach will hatch and head for the water. The problem is that a lot of these hatchlings will never make it. Raccoons and hungry birds will get many of them before they reach the surf. So we have a 24-hour watch going on now so that volunteers will be on hand to protect the turtles after they hatch. Oh, and we also need someone to notify the owners of beachfront homes to leave their yard lights off for the next couple of weeks. The baby turtles are attracted to artificial light, such as porch lights and headlights. In fact, some of them end up on the beach highway and are killed by passing cars, so we're trying to minimize lights on the landward side of the beach. Now, if you're interested, please stop by my office in the biology department and sign up. What are we asking you to do? We're asking for at least a 2-hour commitment from each participant. Oh, and please note that Turtle Watch activities do not constitute excused absences from class. Thanks.
Number 44. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 45. Why should homeowners turn their lights off? Number 46. What do the Turtle Watch participants have to do? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of a talk in a United States history class.
While we're on the topic of things that technology has made obsolete, I'd like to spend a few minutes on the ice industry, one of the major industries in the United States in the 1800s. Now, before refrigerators came into common use, people in rural areas often had a well or a spring house to keep perishable foods fresh. We're all too young to have used one, but a spring house was a small building that people would build over a spring. Farm families back then would rely on cold water from the spring to help keep dairy products or meat cool, boxes instead. And they'd buy blocks of ice to put in these ice boxes. And then they'd pack all their milk or meat inside to keep it fresh. So, until refrigerators made it obsolete, the ice industry supplied city dwellers with these blocks of ice. Now, by 1800, people had learned how to harvest blocks of ice from lakes and cover this ice with hay and storages. These ice houses were enormous, among the largest structures anywhere in the country at that time. Ice houses were so important that they often had railroad tracks going right up next to them. In addition to being transported by train, ice was delivered by ship, all along the East Coast, or further inland by canal boat. Eventually, the industry supplied blocks of ice to almost any place in the country where people could afford such a luxury.
Number 47. What is the talk mainly about? Number 48. According to the speaker, what made the ice industry obsolete? Number 49. What does the speaker imply about spring houses? Number 50. What was the purpose of an icebox? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1. At the end of the test, the supervisor, you may not leave untested. End of recording.